What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedule Fly. This was a fun episode with Steve Stanek at Stone's Throw Brewing in Goose Creek, South Carolina, just north of Charleston. I don't even know where to start with how fascinating and interesting this dude is, but he when I came in there, he had his one of his arms in a sling. He had torn his bicep. Essentially deadlifting some HVAC equipment. Former gym owner, big dude, clearly spent a lot of time in the weight room, but he's a do-it-yourself guy, and he did the build-out of this incredible brewery himself as a former fire station. So he's a self-taught, he's a got his general contractor's license, self-taught. He's a self-taught bassist, plays in a band, owns a couple of other, he owns two other Stone's Throw Tavern restaurants. He's owned all kinds of businesses over the years, and just a super nice guy. So much fun to talk to, so interesting. Could have sat there all day asking him questions because he's just got such a diverse skill set. So enjoy this episode. And if you're down in that area, if you're heading to Charleston, you're heading south on 77, take a pause when you get to Goose Creek, go over and check out Stone's Throw Brewing. This place is really, really cool. And great dude, great team of people around him. Before we get to our episode, I probably should have talked to Steve about Pop Menu. I don't believe I did. Of course, they don't even have Instagram there. It's amazing. This guy keeps things really simple. Good for him. Really freaking awesome. But Pop Menu is, they're a new partner of Schedule Fly, and they're a great technology, a must-have technology. A lot of our customers use Pop Menu, and they're all very happy. So we have a lot of mutual happy customers. But Pop Menu is all about making your day easier and your sales bigger. They will simplify your marketing operations, bring in more guests, and capture customer data for personalized remarketing to keep them coming back. With one super simple to use platform that integrates with most point of sale systems, Pop Menu starts with a beautifully designed, easy to update, interactive menu that transforms the guest experience online. It includes a brand new website that's optimized for search engines like Google for no additional cost. Automated digital marketing, online ordering and wait listing, and you'll never miss another call with their AI answering solutions that cost as little as 47 cents an hour. They've answered over 1 million phone calls for customers in a short period of time since they rolled that out. And there's just so much more in there. There's a link in the show notes for this podcast. They are a great company and have great customer service, and that's such an important part of this. So if you're interested in learning more about Pop Menu, hit the link or contact me. I'll put you in touch with the right person depending on where you are geographically. You can hit me up at support@schedulefly.com. I get all those emails. Thank you all for listening. And here is Steve Stanek, Stone's Throw Brewing, Goose Creek, South Carolina. See ya. All right, cool. We are down here in the Low Country in South Carolina at Stone's Throw Brewing. Just opened a few weeks ago. Steven, introduce yourself.
My name is Steve Stanek. I'm the owner of this place. Proud to have this open. We just started. Friday will be week three, and we've had a great reception since we opened the doors.
All right, so we have a lot to talk about. We were just getting into some stuff right before we started recording here, so I have so many questions to ask you, but you grew up in Youngstown, Ohio.
Yes.
And then you moved up to Charleston 15 years ago from Florida.
Yes.
Where you were a chief information officer for the county.
Palm Beach County government, yes.
And then you got into owning a gym.
I was big into fitness back then and mixed martial arts, so I had a bad injury that changed that life.
Okay. Well, did you do jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Duly noted. I want to ask you about that in a minute here. Okay. So then, how did you get, and you've got this place, but you've also got a couple of Stone's Throw Taverns.
I have two other Stone's Throw Taverns. I had a large sports bar for about 12 years. I just closed before I opened this. I have another pub called Heroes Pub just down the road here.
Okay.
And an art studio and a construction company in the band.
And you now have a torn bicep.
Yes.
Okay. Where do we start here? So how did you, first of all, what brought you from Palm Beach to the Charleston area?
Spinal injury. I really couldn't be around the jiu-jitsu anymore. So I took a shot at another option. I got an offer to come be chief information officer for Piggly Wiggly, a grocery store chain based out of Charleston.
Yes.
So I did that for 2 years and got the itch to do my own thing again and bought my first bar.
Okay. Wait, so you had a spinal injury from jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. So you're definitely not doing that anymore.
Yes, I have over the years still.
Yeah.
It's going to be a while, though, after this bicep tear.
Yeah. Golly, man. Okay, so you came up here. All right, Piggly Wiggly. I know Piggly Wiggly well. Grew up in the Carolinas. So, boy, they've done an amazing job with that business. That brand is like people. You see Piggly Wiggly shirts everywhere. People come from all over when they go to the beaches in South Carolina. They're like, I got to get a Piggly Wiggly shirt.
They're loyal to that brand and that logo.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, so you came up here for that, and then you bought a bar.
Yes.
What bar was that? One of the ones you hit?
North Park Grill.
North Park Grill.
Large sports bar, pool hall too. I had about 20 pool tables there.
Okay.
10,000 square feet. It was a big late night hard drinking party in pool hall.
You're throwing me here. You're this dude. You're a chief information officer, so you've got that side of your brain working. But you're also in a band and you're in the hospitality.
Yes.
So you're a very diverse dude. Working as a chief information officer at a county or at Piggly Wiggly, the difference between that and owning and running a successful big sports bar, there's a very diverse skill set you're managing here.
Very different needs at each place.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you had been into fitness, and why did you buy a sports bar?
Honestly, at the time, I was looking through multiple options. I was working with a business broker. We checked out a lot of different things. I wasn't particularly looking for a bar.
Okay.
This just happened to be a good fit, a good opportunity. I saw what the prior owner was doing. It really wasn't my style at the time, but I saw an option to get it for a pretty decent price and turn it around really quick, and I did. It was great for me.
Okay.
I had a good 12-year run at that place.
12-year run.
And I just closed that down in September because I was originally going to build the brewery there. I was going to close that down and convert that to the brewery.
Okay.
But the day I closed that, I got a call from the owner of this building. He wanted me to come check it out, and when I saw this, I liked this location better in every way for a brewery.
So this was a firehouse.
Yes.
You can tell, and it's a, I wish I could properly describe how awesome this place is. Open air and just, wow. I mean, you guys did an incredible job with the build out. You got all your tanks right here. This is awesome. I mean, it's really cool.
We're proud of it.
Yeah. How long did it take you to convert this over?
About 3 months. I took over the spot October 1st, and we opened 2 weeks ago.
You did all this in 3 months?
Yep. And me and one of the other guys who worked for me primarily did all the construction.
And so did you have a background in construction?
Yeah, I'm a general contractor, primarily originally in general and specialty roofing, but last few years I've done mostly my bars.
Okay.
And other related work.
Well, saves you a heck of a lot of time and money, huh?
Yeah. And just the ability to get things done faster.
Yeah, I mean, 3 months is like, this would take like at least a year these days, it seems like. Everything takes forever.
Yes.
Man, that's impressive. Okay, when did you start your first Stone's Throw Tavern?
2019. I opened the first Stone's Throw Tavern in West
Ashland. Oh, wow. So you got two of those and this all in, okay. What was the, why did you decide to do that? What was the purpose for Stone's Throw?
Two years before that, I opened my second bar, Heroes Pub, and I was getting the itch to do another one and to do something different. The Stone Soil concept was more of a family-oriented, traditional American restaurant with a heavy focus on craft beer.
Uh-huh.
We have 24 and 28 beers on tap of the other two places, primarily local crafts.
Yeah.
Just wanted something different. I was getting a little tired of the late-night bar scene. I wanted more of a traditional restaurant.
Yeah.
And so I put my attention there. And it worked great. We had a great turnout from day one there. That people loved the concept. I liked it. When the opportunity came in the middle of COVID, while a lot of people were closing down, I built the second Stone Throw Tavern in North Charleston, Northwoods Mall.
Where was the first one?
At West Ashley.
Okay.
Where is that? Like,
it's just south of here, about 20 miles. It's the western edge of Charleston.
Western edge. Okay, got it. So West Ashley. Okay. And you had the, so you got the second one. Now, did you, your first Stone's Throw Tavern, was that, had that been a restaurant, or what was there before?
It was a place called Parson Jack's for about 14 years before that.
Okay. So you took over an existing space. Do you own that building?
No.
No. Okay, so you're leasing that. And that was in 19, and then when did you open the second one?
2021.
2021. Okay. Same deal? Was that a former restaurant? Or?
It was vacant at the time. It was previously a King Street Grill.
Okay.
But it had been vacant for about a year or two before that, I believe.
Okay. How did you, what Stone's Throw? I mean, like a Stone's Throw away, but like, does that have a personal meaning?
My nickname growing up was Stone. That's okay. What most of my family called me.
Okay.
And I'm horrible with names, so when we were, you know, brainstorming stuff, I just couldn't think of anything better. And somebody came out with that, and it stuck just for lack of anything, a better option.
It's a good name. It's a catchy name. Yeah, it's easy to remember. So, okay, when you, like, tell me about opening this place. New concept, old location of a restaurant, but a totally new concept. How, and here, and then you've done two so quickly, and now this. How do you, with so many restaurants around and so much competition, I know there's a lot of growth here, but there's a lot of competition too. It's tough business, you know. How do you get people not just to come in, you know, initially when you first open, a lot of places open, it's like, oh, let's try the new place, but you got to keep them coming back.
I don't know that there's any single magic answer. At least I don't know it yet. It's just, I try and provide a good atmosphere, good experience, you know, good service, fair pricing. We don't rely on any gimmicks. You know, it's not crazy happy hour or buy one, get one free specials. It's just good food, good product, good service, good environment all the time. And that's what I'm trying for.
Well, good service means you got to have good people.
Yes.
And you've opened three places here in the last few years, and probably the toughest time since I've been doing this, we've been doing this 16 years. I haven't seen a harder time to find.
We've got a lot of good people, but not nearly enough. That's been the hardest challenge the last few years.
That's been the hardest challenge? You just can't get enough people on the roster.
Particularly on the kitchen side.
Yeah.
It's just that not enough of them. We're constantly struggling with that.
Pay raises, all that stuff, it just, you still...
Oh, yeah, our pay has gone up. You know, a couple of years ago, could hire a cook for $10 to $14 an hour. Now that you won't even talk to them for 18 or more, the demanding coming in.
Wow. Well, when you have people, how do you keep them?
I think I treat them good. I do a lot of gifts and bonuses. When I'm doing good, I share the wealth with everybody. I treat them with respect. I value them. We've got some who've been here around, you know, with me for years, follow me from place to place, help me open these new places. I've taken people from, you know, server to bartender to general manager of some of my spots. One of my general managers is actually my partner at Heroes Pub.
Okay.
So I like to help. You know, I love the some of the people I've had. They've been great help to what we're doing and helping create this and expand it. And I think I see more of that in the future too.
Well, tell me about the Charleston area. A lot of growth down here.
Oh yeah, it's exploded since I moved here about 15 years ago now. I've seen a lot of changes, a lot of new restaurants, a lot of competition, and a shrinking workforce.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest challenge.
Is it starting? Like, I know it was really tough during COVID, or as we kind of started coming out of COVID. A lot of people kind of left the restaurant industry and maybe decided they weren't going to come back. It was like darn near impossible, it seemed like, to find anybody to work for a while. It seems like that's getting a little bit better. Is that... Are you seeing that?
No.
No?
It was a little easier hiring at a new spot. You get a lot of attention doing something new. But my other locations were still struggling every day.
Really? Does that mean people are having to work more than they probably would want to? Or does it mean that you're not open as many hours as you'd want to? Or
We haven't had to cut hours. One of the things I value is consistency. You know, when we're open, we're open always. The kitchen's open till 11. We're open till 11. You walk in at 10:55, we're going to serve you and cook.
Yeah.
That's been one of my biggest pet peeves in the past, places that close before they're supposed
right,
to close.
Right, yeah.
One night playing on my band at a local restaurant here, a very busy place on a Friday night, about 10:30 or 10:45, one of the tables in front of the stage left. That server was being cut. She flipped up the chairs, you know, on that table, left on a busy night on Friday. And after every one of her tables left, she flipped up the chairs. And that's just a horrible look to me. It's a sign for you're not wanted. Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I never want that to happen in my places.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, I think we've probably all experienced that. You know it when you see it, and yeah, it doesn't sit well. It's not inviting, making you want to come back like another time. Okay, so you're in a band too.
Yes,
you play bass.
Play bass.
Been playing bass like your whole life, or
this band's been together for about 8 years now. I played a little bit while I was living in Florida. That's where I learned with a couple guys I did jiu-jitsu with, and just out of the blue one day, and I pretty much self-taught myself.
Okay. You teach what about the construction? You're a GC. How'd that come about?
Always been handy all my life, but my younger brother actually started a big construction company in Ohio probably about 15 years ago, more than that actually. And he's been very successful, and I was doing the restaurant things, and you know, he calling me or sending me copies of big checks he's making, and you know, being the competitive big brother I am, I said I could do that too. So I got my general contractor's license, got my first big roofing contract, and showed him a copy of a big check.
That's awesome. That is so cool. Well, gosh, I mean, in a place like this, and so you, man, there's a lot of, I mean, just that bar alone, it's a massive bar. So you guys were in here just cranking.
Yeah, we were. Me and
I mean, even if you're your own, I mean, this is a lot to do in 3 months. At least, I would think. I mean,
well, we were here every day, working about 12 hours a day.
Okay,
and we just get things done. You know, me and Rob, who's my district manager, helps run all three stones. He's got electrician and refrigeration background and general construction. So between the two of us, we're able to do everything here. And we're both in the mindset: if it needs done, we just do it. We don't waste time. You know. If something needs to happen, it happens right then.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Well, that's really cool. So how many beers do you guys have over here?
We have 20 taps. We only have 16 on tap right now. All our tanks are full, though, and we're about to keg a bunch in the next few days. So the plan is to always have 20 on tap full time here.
Always have 20 on tap.
It took us a little time to get, you know, all of our inventory up for opening just 2 weeks ago.
Do you have like a head brewer? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Came from where?
He came from a brewery in North Carolina, and he worked at several. And then we've had unbelievable help from some of the other local breweries here too. A lot of them have been, you know, sending their brewers, their owners been here helping us out, giving us advice, you know, talking about different, you know, brainstorming beer ideas and recipes, and very happy with the community here, the beer community. They've been great to work with.
The beer community is really interesting like that. There's so much collaboration and help, and I mean, I always hear that. Like every time I speak to somebody that's in this space, that's what I hear. You know, we work, you know, so-and-so helps us, we work with these folks, or, you know, we're always helping each other, that's a cool thing.
Yeah, I was worried we weren't going to have enough beer to open. And this was, you know, a month or so before we opened. And I went from having no brewers to one day having brewers from five different breweries here, you know, making everything happen at the start.
What are some of the other breweries down here that you guys collaborate with?
Tideland's been great. Common House been great. A lot of other ones, but those are the two I've worked most personally with their owners.
It's a good community. Are all these that you have here, does this menu change? Will this, like, do you have some that are staples and some that will change? Or
well, it's only been 2 weeks, so we're yeah, starting to figure out what those are. And so far, two of them are selling great. Sunburn at the Beach, which is a strawberry blonde ale, and Easy Like Sunday Morning, a traditional light American lager. Those are selling like crazy by far.
That's the one.
Not the ones
I
expected. I would have expected some of the IPAs to go a little faster, but
yeah,
those are going fast. And I even put them at two of my other restaurants now, and they're going fast there too.
Well, you must have folks like me, because I'm looking at, those are the two with the two lowest alcohol content. Yeah. So that's what it is, what I'm always looking for. I saw that Easy Light Sunday morning. I was like, okay, 4.8. I could probably handle that. Sunburn at the beach. Slightly. Okay, interesting. Blonde ale. I want to try one of those Easy Light Sunday mornings before I roll. Ooh, Landboat Lager.
Yep, that's named after my band. Landboat's the name of my band.
What kind of music do y'all play?
A mix of everything. It really is, you know, old country, 90s, rock.
Old country, like Conway Johnny Twitter, Cash, John Willie Cash, Nelson kind of stuff?
Modern country, too. You know, okay. Chris Stapleton. We are all over the place.
That's awesome.
We have fun.
What's your favorite type of music, personally?
I like playing it. I don't know. I don't have a particular favorite.
You don't?
Some bands I've been listening to lately are the Record Company and the Dead South.
Okay.
But I like a lot of music.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool that y'all have such an eclectic mix of... Every time I hear somebody say old country, I get excited. I like a lot of old country. That's kind of that's my jam. Those old timers were just, I don't know. They lived tough lives. There's a lot of authenticity in their words and their songs and all that kind of stuff. That's cool. So, where do you find time to learn and do all this stuff? You must not sleep a lot.
Very little.
I could tell. You're just a high energy dude. You're not sitting still much.
I get bored too quick, so I'm always doing something.
Has that always been the case? Were you like that as a kid?
Yes.
Yeah, just a lot of energy.
Yes.
Didn't like sitting. But you were. What did you study?
Astronomy and physics. And yeah, my undergrad degrees in astronomy and physics, and went to grad school for physics, and then a few years later went back for an MBA.
Where'd you go to grad school for physics?
Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh.
Okay. So you weren't one of these like hyper kids that couldn't sit still, because if you're learning physics, you had to.
Oh yeah, I was always great in the classroom.
Yeah.
That wasn't a problem. I'd get bored easy with it. You know, I'd finish my work and be reading a book or playing a game while I was in class. But
and you got your
perfect days.
You got your MBA there too?
Yes.
When did you do that? Did you go back to get that, or was that?
I did a couple years later. I went back, yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. You don't meet a lot of restaurant. Well, you may have some people in chains that are executives, but not a lot of restaurant owners, independent restaurant owners that have an MBA. Has it helped you any in this?
Yeah, it is. In general, the knowledge gained through that was great. But probably more so the experience and the socializing that other people went to the school with, you know, the things we learned from each other. But probably some of the most valuable aspects of it.
Really?
Yeah.
You stay in touch with a lot of people you went to school with?
Not particularly.
No. Thank you.
Yeah, I've moved around, you know, been away from there for so long, you know, between Florida and here. So I'm rarely back in Ohio and Pennsylvania area.
Is that where your brother is?
He's in Ohio still.
He's still there. Yeah. Your folks here, are they still around?
My dad's there. My mom's actually lives here now. She's moved here recently.
Are you an Ohio State fan?
Not a big sports fan in general at all. Okay. I like playing. I've never really cared watching them. And people ask me that at these places. I always say I'm a fan of overtime. Whatever keeps customers
Whatever
here
keeps
longer.
The customers going. How many TVs do y'all have? You got 2, 4?
This is the fewest number of TVs at any of my places. The other ones have like 40, 42 TVs.
You got like 16 here, right? Is it 8 here and 8 back there?
Yes.
Okay.
And a couple with the menus on.
I bet I can't wait to see one of these places like... Next football season during the Carolina-Clemson game.
Oh, they're a great place to watch football. And those screens, we have the ability to make that one big video wall. So it can be
really?
One large screen or two large screens.
Since you've had the experience of football season with the other two, South Carolina, Clemson, do like any of the – like do they either one have like – where they all gravitate to one or the
they're
other? Or?
Pretty well represented by both of them.
Pretty well represented by them. It's such a big rivalry. I mean – my wife grew up in South Carolina. I grew up in North Carolina, but I've been well exposed to the South Carolina Clemson hate and rivalry and camaraderie that all comes with all that stuff, too.
Surprisingly, one of the biggest groups we had was a group of Nebraska fans at my North Charleston Stone's Throw. There
really?
Were 50 or 60 of them would come every Saturday.
Nebraska? Man, if you're in Charleston and you're still following Nebraska football as bad as they've been. Like that's a loyal fan right there. They've had a rough ride for a while now. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably eventually figure it out. There's so much support for, to your point. I mean, God, that's pretty wild. Oh, that's cool. Okay, so this place here, God, it's pretty wild. I mean, this wasn't – how long was it here as a firehouse before?
Oh, many, many years.
Oh, was it a long time? Yeah. And they just get so much growth, they just needed a bigger
– Yeah, they built a new one like down, a pretty big, half mile down the road.
Okay. It's a pretty big – I mean, square feet is this?
8,000.
Yeah, okay. So, wow. I mean, I bet 20 years ago you would have never been like, I bet we're going to need a bigger firehouse in Goose Creek.
Yeah, probably even 10 years ago.
I mean, seriously, like, holy cow. Because we're still like, how many miles are we from downtown Charleston?
Downtown Charleston, probably 12, 14 miles.
Oh, so we're, okay, we're a little closer than I thought. Okay. Wow. Is the traffic gotten bad around it? There's so much growth. I mean, there's only like this. It's not this very big geography that, you know, where Charleston sits, like in this small little area geographically, and then everything's kind of growing out from there. But the road system wasn't exactly built for.
They didn't plan ahead, not well enough.
Yeah. But people are still just.
They're still flocking here.
Do you have a lot of customers that are. Have been there, been here a long time, that have lived here their whole lives, or are most people like new because they've moved in from somewhere else?
Probably about 50-50. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of new people here every year.
So do you, this is your third location with the Stone's Throw brand. Are you kind of settled in on that brand? Are you going to grow?
Yeah, I've been happy of it, proud of it. I think there's a lot of room for growth with it.
Do you, when you think about growing, do you think about growing in this area? Do you think about franchising?
Yes, both of those answers. I've actually had people approach me about opening a franchise, and I'm intrigued with the idea because I like the idea of someone dealing with all the day-to-day and me just getting, you know, an overall say in the look and feel and theme and a little cut of it.
Have you ever been to Bohemian Bowl?
Years ago.
Mm-hmm. He'd be a good guy to know. They're franchising now.
Yeah. I think I was there before I was in the restaurants. I think just as a customer years ago.
Chad Beal is down there, and he was probably running that place 8 or 9 years before he started to, like, just kind of getting it all dialed in. And then the last few years he started working on franchising. He's got I think he sold 6 licenses last year.
Nice.
I mean, he's got one in Mount Pleasant, like not that far away, but they're like in Greenville, Dallas, Houston. You know, just, I mean, you get your systems figured out and get your operations tightened up and all that kind of stuff, and you have a consistent brand, and heck yeah, man. Anyway, if you ever want to talk to him, let me know, because he went through like a few years of just, you know, trying to, like, how do we do this right and do it right, do it really, make sure we do it really well. And I think he's so far so good, but you know, they're opening one. I need to ask him how long it's been. It's taken, like, they're opening one in Mount Pleasant, and it's just been a long process. If you're not a general contractor and you're relying on. Seems like everything just takes forever these days.
It does. Even for me to get materials and supplies sometimes, these chairs we're sitting on, I ordered those October 1st. I'm still waiting on 30 more chairs to get here.
And you ordered them October 1st?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
And they've all gone up in price. You know, I had a pretty good idea of what this really cost me because I just built one of these, you know, pretty much the exact same thing at the mall 2 years ago. Same furniture, same tables, same lights. Everything's gone up. These lights cost me $40 each in 2021. They were $98 each now.
What? Over twice as much?
Yes.
Same thing?
Yes. Concrete's gone up. Wood's gone up.
How is it?
Everything's gone up a ton in just those 2 years.
Nevertheless, from all I'm hearing so far this year, people are still going out to restaurants.
Yeah.
You had to adjust your prices?
We update our menu about once every 6 to 8 months, and we did it when we opened this. Same menu at all three places. And so we did go up slightly, but I'm always scared to go up on prices. I You know, I'm entry for. I'm not big on specials or discounts, but I want to just have fair pricing all the time. And I know our customers are very sensitive to price increases, so I try and avoid that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, but it's like at some point.
But food costs especially has gone up so much in the last few years.
Yeah, none of this stuff's going back down, so.
Some of it has, like wings at one point, you know, a few years ago, you could get them $50 a case. Then it went up to as high as about $180 a case. But now they're back 70, 80 bucks a case now.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Yeah, what was that?
I think a lot of people stopped serving wings when they went up that high. A lot of restaurants just dropped them. So now there's not as much demand.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting. That's a lot of money for wings.
I almost got rid of them off our menu, too, because we were losing money at
higher prices. Every time you... Right. So it'd be better to just not have them than to raise. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay. Outside of the restaurant stuff, I mean, you tore your bicep here, but you're a fit dude. You own a gym. You obviously spend a lot of time in the weight room.
Not like I used to. I've been getting old and falling apart.
But do you, I mean, has that been something that's been like, has that been a big part of your?
It was for many years. Either, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for many years and lifting, and then I got real big into CrossFit. But many injuries over the last few years. Two knee surgeries, a shoulder surgery, now this bicep. I'm getting too old.
Two knee surgeries, shoulder surgery, now the bicep. CrossFit's interesting because CrossFit's like, I mean, I do a lot of fitness stuff. I'm really into it, but I never got into CrossFit just because I push myself so hard, and I was like, okay, now if I'm going to go in here with this group of people who are all pushing each other really hard, I'm gonna get hurt. Like, my body's not gonna be able to do what I'm like pushing it to do. And it seems like there's, you know, like I know a few folks have done, you know, they hurt their back or whatever. It's awesome. I mean, people get in ridiculously good shape doing that, but it's like you have to have the discipline. It's like a lot of people have to have the discipline to just go to the gym. I feel like a lot of people that do CrossFit have to have the discipline to, like, slow down and maybe not do, because you're going to wind up, like, pushing yourself to injury.
It's very competitive. You're with a group of people all trying to get, you know, the high score, the high weight, the fastest time.
Yeah.
And I'm a competitive person by nature, so it motivates me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, how long did you do jiu-jitsu?
Since 2004.
Okay, so you were in that a long time. I mean, it's gotten really popular the last 5 or 6 years or something like that. But let's just talk. I have three kids. My middle one is my. I have two boys. My middle son or middle kid is my oldest son. He's 16. He wrestles. He's telling me he wants to learn to box. I was like, you should learn jiu-jitsu. You wrestle. He's like, I don't want to have somebody snap my leg. I'm like, dude, that's not what jiu-jitsu is. There's a lot of, like, really good life lessons in jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah.
Learning.
I would highly recommend it for anyone.
Yeah. What did you get out of it?
The physical part of it was great. I was in the best shape of my life when I was really doing that regularly.
Yeah.
Confidence. You know, I always know I can handle myself. I feel better about myself doing it.
Yeah. Learn to get tapped out and get back up. And
yep. It teaches you a lot of humility, too. When I first started, I was, you know, came more from the bodybuilding side. I was the big, strong guy. Just got my butt kicked by all these little guys nonstop. You know, some 5-foot-tall, 100-pound guy would just toss me around like nothing. And you learn real fast. It's not about how big or strong you are. It's skill and technique.
It's technique. Yeah, absolutely. Do you listen to podcasts?
Not as much as I used to. Your podcast? I've listened to some.
No, I mean, general, I just meant like if you listen to any. I'm just so I listen to Jocko Willink. Do you know Jocko?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. He's always talking about jiu-jitsu and all this, you know, like life lessons you get out of that. I got turned on to him a few years ago, and so anyway, I don't listen to as many as I used to, because I got rid of my iPhone 2.5 years ago, and which is where I would, like, every time I drive somewhere, I'd listen to a podcast. I got this.
Oh, that's old school.
That's old school.
So like today, I spent most of the time, it's a 3-hour drive, I spent most of it on the phone because I don't have anything to play, you know, just driving down the interstate listening to random radio stations. But I used to listen to a lot of so, Jocko and well, he doesn't do jiu-jitsu, but that David Goggins, do you know who that guy is?
I've recognized the name, but I'm not sure.
He's a former SEAL who's just, I mean, he's off the hook. You would probably like him just for the fact that he's super intense, and he's really just carved out a personal brand of just, just telling people to be tough. He'll go do like the Badlands 100, like the toughest 100-miler race, and like, I mean, I think he won it 1 year, or gets second place or whatever, and he's all about just overcoming, like using your, pushing your body beyond what your mind says it wants to do. He talks about the 40% rule. He's like, when you think you want to quit something, like when your mind's saying stop, you're at 40% of your physical capacity, you know. So
a lot of it's mental at that point.
It's full on mental. Yeah, it is. But again, you can push yourself right into like, shit, now I'm, you know, I just, now I need knee surgery or whatever. Yeah. Like, well, you did that. What were you doing? You were lifting one of the tanks?
And installing a new large water heater at one of my other restaurants last week.
Okay, a water heater.
Old one died. I'd have to shut the kitchen down if I didn't put a new one in. So me and my guy worked for me. We were
deadlifting a water heater.
Yeah, and I just felt it tear.
Oh, that's brutal.
It was about as big as one of these tanks there.
I bet it was.
Not like a residential one.
Well, I mean, so you're talking about like you were going to build outside here.
Yes.
And since you're the, like, you're do, like, does that mean you just knock?
I got to find somebody to do it for me now.
Okay. You're not going to delay it for 6 months or fence. Whatever. So no, you go,
I like to get things done. I can't wait that long.
You just got to make it happen. Yeah. I hear you. Okay. All right.
I have a new walk-in cooler arriving this week too that I was supposed to be putting together. That's one of my big problems here now. I don't have enough cooler space for food or kegs. So I've got a lot of beer I can't package until we empty some kegs. So I'm installing another large cooler this week. I was planning on to. It'll be here. I might not get to it until next week now.
So you do serve food?
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. Full kitchen every day.
Ah, okay. All right. I was wondering. Okay, so you.
And we do brunch on the weekends too.
I was wondering if you had like food. Okay, so you. Okay.
Oh no, that was one of the appeals I think of this compared to a lot of breweries. We have full service kitchen, full menu every day. We're open every day.
That's awesome.
You know, a lot of breweries have limited days. They're closed on Monday, Tuesday, or
yeah, or they have food trucks and stuff, and you never know. That's okay. That's good. Okay.
We're open 11 to midnight every day. We open at 10 on Saturday and Sunday also.
Wait, 11 to midnight, or 10 Saturdays every day? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, full menu every day.
That's awesome. I want to order some of your food.
We got some good
beer.
Food here.
Heck yeah! What do you like? What kind of stuff do you serve? Do we have a menu?
Yeah. Hey Bob, can you get me a menu?
What's your
menu?
What is your favorite thing that you serve?
I eat pretty much two meals every day: either Caesar salad or cheeseburger.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Caesar salad or cheeseburger. Well, I'm on the burger tip for sure, man. All right, let's see here. So we got, dude, sandwiches, burgers, entree. Ooh. This is looking really good.
Yeah, I'm proud of our menu. I think we get a lot of good response from it. Our food is good quality. Comes out consistent.
Ooh boy, I might be having to. I'm gonna have to get a burger here. So we got salads, we got all these appetizers. Good menu. Where do you get these menus from?
That paper is called TerraSlate, but I designed the menu and printed on that TerraSlate paper.
You designed this?
Yes.
It's good. You're a man of many talents, dude.
Just a man. Self-taught. That needs to get things done.
A man. You're well.
And
what
patient,
you're
so I want to get you're things willing done. Do myself.
That's right. There you go. You're willing to. Grind it out and sit down and learn and figure stuff out, trial and error and research and, ooh, steak bites. All right. We're gonna wrap this up. I got to get some food and some beer. This is making my mouth water. Anything else? Did we miss anything? Anything else you want to talk about?
I'm open for whatever you want to know about this place.
You know, I think you you're a unique dude, Steve. You really are. I mean, the amount of different skills that you've learned, it's really impressive. It's one thing to learn to, you know, build things, or you know, create beers or whatever. But to have all those skills, but to have good people that are willing to go to bat for you and work hard for you. I mean, that's it in this industry. Like, yeah, that is.
I treasure those good ones. I wish I had more, but I do have some great ones.
It's amazing. I mean, you can have good food, good whatever, but people make this industry
for sure.
I mean, they're the ones who are, you know, carrying the flag and representing your brand each time they interact with a guest. And it's, I always find what you do, you and your peers owning independent restaurants like this. I'm always blown. It's why I like doing this. I'm just like blown away because I'm sitting there thinking like, the amount of stuff you have to deal with on a daily basis, especially you have multiple locations and with your external customer, the public, and then your internal customer, your employees. There's so many variables at play all the time. Like, there's some art, there's some science, but there's just like executing on a daily basis. Getting people to do that for you consistently, 11 to midnight, 10 on Saturdays and Sundays, like that's
one of the
hard
things I tell everybody who I interview, everybody who works for me. This business in so many ways is so simple. Restaurants have been around forever. There's nothing magic about it. It's just a billion little things you got to do consistently.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah,
pay attention and deal with them consistently. None of it's hard. Every little bit of it is simple, but the hard part comes and you know, people just, I don't want to deal with this, or I'll deal with it today, or maybe not. Yeah, they let things slide, and so you let one thing slide, then other things slide, and then you know, the person next to you sees that, and they start letting things slide. It goes down here real fast when you stop paying attention to those little things. It is simple if you can stay on top of those.
It is. But getting all those people, this is why I'm just in so much admiration of what you've been able to do. Like, I mean, you got a night when you're on here on a college football Saturday and place is packed out and you're in the weeds. It's like, I mean, even just having people not panic, you know, because it's like, shit, like, I can't, is this too much for me? Like, that's.
Well, we definitely had some of that, especially when it's just we only like, opened 2 weeks ago and our first Friday, we had a soft opening Thursday. Friday, our kitchen was absolutely slammed and overwhelmed. We had to stop taking orders at 8 o'clock. We had a 2-hour wait on food at that point.
We've
been slammed every night since. Yeah. We're at the slow point now at about 4 o'clock, but you know, come dinner time, every seat in here will be full again tonight.
Good for you all, man. That's fantastic. All right. Well, I'm going to order some stuff. This has been great. I appreciate this very, very much.
Thank you for coming here.
Appreciate the business. Proud to serve y'all, man. Awesome. Love it. All right. That is a wrap, y'all.
All right.
Stay tuned.